Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for another night, Lord, to gather to open your word. I pray for everyone here, Lord, everybody listening, Lord, that we would open our ears to listen to your word, that you would teach us, Lord, this wonderful chapter, Lord, getting to sit at your feet for a couple weeks and working on my heart, Lord, and the things that you're pointing out to me, God. I just pray that everybody here would listen and take heed and to consider what you have to say, and Lord, that we would be comforted, Lord, by your love and your mercy for us, and just love you and praise you, and thank you, and we ask that you would minister to us, Lord. Ask for Holy Spirit, Lord, gifts of teaching tonight, Lord, and that you would teach us, Lord. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. So the last time we got together, Mark chapter 3, we looked at Jesus as we're in Mark together, and as he teaches us, as he shows us all what he's doing, chapter 3 kind of is that pivot point in Jesus' ministry, and we see as he heals the man with the withered hand, forgives him sins. And we see that the Pharisees, the scribes, they make the choice that they're going to destroy him. And so we see Jesus with his attitude towards his ministry, his attitude towards emptying himself and coming and serving others, and that he came to minister and not to be ministered unto. And we looked at the disciples that he called in chapter 3 and just the life laid down for them, and that the people saw that they had been with Jesus in Acts, and we see Peter and John, and here we can sit together and spend time with Jesus as we go out, and that people would see that our walk, that we've been talking for a few weeks about our conduct being worthy of the gospel, Philippians 1:27 again, and so we see Jesus and his work ethic, the ministry not ending and just going all in. He's all in. He's the Son of God, and his heart is to minister to people, to serve others, and so we can see that and learn from him how he did things, and how his family at the end of chapter 3. They thought he was insane, that he was beside himself, and how Jesus says those, his family, his brethren, his mother and brothers, are those that do the will of God. And so we enter into chapter 4 today. Popular for us that have sat and heard God's word over and over, Calvary Chapel, is the t-shirts that they had at the conference, where the sheep like to come and eat, is their little t-shirts they had in Philadelphia. And so we've eaten this. We've come before this, and the kids, as they're growing, and they've sat at this, and just considering all of us here in the room, our hearts, I believe, have all, the seed has fallen on good ground, and has brought eternal life to all of us, and if you haven't, Lord will search your heart, but I believe, for this room, for what we have today, the parable of the sower, and Jesus' teaching. So, the seed has landed on my heart, and it was good soil, and I has reaped everlasting life. But I can read this and take heed to myself and the areas of my heart. Now that I'm saved and born again, God has ministered to me and shown me all the different areas of my life, that this area over here is stony ground. This area over here, I enter into summer as the business starts to happen there. The cares of the world, the thorns can grow up and choke out the word here. And there's certain areas of the word that I will receive gladly with joy on good soil to receive what God has for me. But there's other areas where it'll fall on the wayside. I don't want to hear that. It's been not addressed in my life. And so God could search on your heart. Also, I pray that we would consider and hear what God has for us here. And the title that I'm praying through and had many different titles. How do you come to these chapters? Go through a whole chapter, and there are so many different layers. You have a thousand Bible studies in each chapter. And so as you're listening, I'm listening, and you know, you hear all the different Bible studies, you're reading, and you're comparing spiritual with spiritual. You got your Thompson Chain Bible. You have all your topics on the side. You can churn back and you can cross-examine how cool it was that he, you know, all the connecting verses, and you can search all this out. But for the title, back to the title, what God's shown me that for us, we would consider our ways. And for me, for the last couple of weeks, it's been, Bronson, consider your ways so that I would take heed unto myself. And I would, you know, pray that each of you, the kids, my kids, it's the little bitty kids, you would consider your ways as you grow up, and you consider what you're putting on into your soil of your heart. And so my responsibility with my kids, you know, I take heed on, and should do a better job, you know, prayerfully, as God shows me. Don't introduce them to that. Don't watch that. Don't go here with them. And so the word is living and powerful, sharp and a two-edged sword. So this is a powerful, powerful word as we consider this. And so Haggai 1, 3 through 7, where this title comes from. And the people, as they've neglected the temple, the building of the house of the Lord, Haggai, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, this is verses 3 through 7, in chapter 1 of Haggai, saying, verse 4, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and you bring in little. You eat but you do not have enough. You drink but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And I'll read that, and I am to consider my ways and to take heed unto myself. It's easy to preach at others and say, well, you know, you need to hear this or you need to hear that. But we can all sit here and hear these words, you know, and take heed to what God has to say to us in this. And so let's start right in with chapter 4 of Mark in verse 1. He says, and again, there's that and again, as we go through these chapters, Mark just boom, boom, and this happens, and that happens. And again, he began to teach. He, Jesus, began to teach by the sea. This is the Sea of Galilee. And a great multitude. So imagine just the tons of people. The multitude was gathered to Jesus so that he got into a boat off the shore there and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And, you know, you listen to the guys teach this. I haven't been to Israel. I haven't been to the Sea of Galilee, but I have. I can relate to this with, you just think of the multitudes of the people. Here I am with just, 20 of us, 15 of us, and you can hear me in this enclosed room. But you imagine, you know, they don't have the stereo systems, the big speakers, the microphones, and you have a great multitude of people. How many? I mean, I imagine many thousands. And how are they going to hear all this? Because Jesus, verse 2, it says, then he taught, Jesus taught them many things by parables and said to them in this teaching. And he starts out with this, and he ends with it, with the same word, akouo, which means listen, as you read verse 3. Listen, but it has more, you know, he's telling everybody in the multitude, pay close attention to what I'm saying. Really, Luke says he cries this out. So there's exclamation points attached to this. He's very interested in all the people to hear what I have to say. This is extremely important. Because he'll go on to say, if you don't get this parable, you're not going to get any of the parables after this, because here enters the parables in the ministry of Jesus. And but back to, you know, the acoustics. You know, all the guys will teach that the Sea of Galilee has the acoustics. But where I'm from, my grandparents have a lake in northern Washington, and I can relate to how where that is up, you know, up on the hill, this beautiful lake, best place in the world. And you know, my mom or my sister, you'll walk down and they'll be on the inner tubes, and they'll just even be whispering, and you can just hear like every word they're saying from a great distance. So really neat to kind of get that picture in your mind, how using just the natural like amphitheater of this area, Lord willing, we'll be there next year to see this, and to they'll say that they'll hear the fishermen out, and so. This is possible for Jesus to be able to stand there and teach them and everybody to pay close attention to what he says. So with the power of the Holy Spirit, he speaks with conviction. He's endued with power. And he says, listen, behold. So pay close attention to this. A sower went out to sow. And it happened. As he sowed, the sower, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the wayside is that area where it's the, if you're out on a walking trail and or out hiking, it's the area where it's compacted down by all the walking. It's you pour water on it, it'll pour off the sides of it. It won't even sink in. It's so hard. And the birds of the air come and they devour that seed that lands on that wayside. It can't take any root in it. And some seed fell on stony ground. Okay, so there's stones, there's a little bit of earth, or the stone is underneath the earth, and the seed is sown in that, and I'll just let Jesus teach us, because he'll teach us this as we go on. And because it had no depth of earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And Jesus said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear! Exclamation point. So the akouo, as it reads in the Greek, it is akouo, hear what I have to say, pay close attention to this. But when, well, let's talk about the parables and what a parable means. So para, as you know, is the paraclete of the Holy Spirit, is he comes alongside us. Para means to come alongside or beside. And then bole, parabole, bole means, compound word, to throw, means to throw or to cast. So it literally means a placing beside or a comparison. I believe we all know this, but the kids listening, as you're learning what a parable is, it means a placing beside or a comparison. So at its root, a parable is a comparative story meant to cast light on a deeper truth by throwing it beside something familiar. And for us, this is familiar with us. North Dakota farming, we're in farm country. This is common for, you know, Grand Forks. You got the Red River Valley. And what's neat, 2,000 years ago to 2,000 years later, 6,000 years all throughout mankind, you know, fishermen are still fishermen. Farmers are still farmers. Seed is still seed. Nothing has changed. No matter how much technology is advanced, you know, the seed still has to get into the soil, and then it'll sprout as it's watered, and all that goes on with that. And so the parable, so God gives us this placing beside of a spiritual truth, and the soil is our hearts. Let's let Jesus tell us here. verse 10. But when he was alone, Jesus was alone after this. And you imagine all the multitudes, great multitudes of people. Those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. So you have a certain group of people that are interested. They want to hear more. They did hear what God had to say. Their ears were opened, and they came. And you know, if we can be honest also, there's sometimes you come to this and you're just like, what does that mean? I have no idea what that means. And we can go to Jesus like these guys and say, you know, what does this mean? And Jesus said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Blessed they should churn and their sins be forgiven them. And, you know, God's heart is that all men would come to repentance and to be saved. And so this, a lot of this will, God's word, as we know it from outside here, will fall on deaf ears, and they won't see, and their sins won't be forgiven them. But God's heart is, and our heart should be, that all men would hear this and they would be saved. You know, it's up to us to hear this and to receive God's word. And God's word is sharp and powerful, and the Holy Spirit will draw men to the salvation, and he'll do the work. And he said to them, Jesus, as they come and ask him, what does this mean? He said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word of God. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And as I consider, God's word will not return void as it's planted in our hearts, and the laws of reaping and sowing. Very important. Galatians 6:6-10. As we consider this, as we consider the conditions of our hearts, maybe there's areas in your hearts you're hard to consider. Consider your ways. Consider all the different rooms of your heart of, you know, letting Jesus in, opening that room of that door of the room to him, that he could come in and clean that out, and that he can do that work in your life as the light shines in. You know, the word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And here we have the light of God's word to shine in. And you can just pray. Ask God, where are there any areas that are stony to your word? Are there any areas that I'm holding on to because I like this certain sin? I like the cares of you know, there's many things in my life that have been brought to light from God's word. And so he just shows me this area needs to go, you know, as he waters it with the water of his word, and he softens that area, the wayside that's been trampled down by sin. Sin is what brings hardness. And sin will, you know, as you sow sin in your life, the natural laws are that you will reap the consequences of that sin. So consider your ways. Galatians 6, let's read these 6-10. It's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. The laws of reaping and sowing. Let him, verse 6 of chapter 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So you guys we've come to a Bible study on a Sunday night at 5 o'clock in a hotel in Grand Forks, and we've made the decision to sow God's word into our hearts, and to the Spirit you sow, of the Spirit you will reap everlasting life. So the encouragement that we have as we spend this time, as you are in your word, even tonight, you go home, you go before bed, you have your daily time with the Lord and prayer and putting God's word in. And at this young age, for my kids, for your guys' kids, that this will reap fruit as fruit happens. We don't force the fruit to happen. It is what is produced as we are walking in the Spirit, and as we put God's word in, he will produce the gentleness in our life, the love, the joy, the peace. And yeah, from Galatians 5, all the fruit, the faithfulness and the gentleness and self-control that is so needed. And so in relation to this area, as God shows us, as we consider our ways, as we enter into the next four verses of Mark chapter 4, just the importance of revival in our life. And we, you know, a lot of talk is talked about revival. Revival's coming. And, you know, these massive revivals, I think everybody has a picture of going back to the past and how things have looked in the past, and having these big crusades and, you know, these harvests of souls being won. And that absolutely could happen. But revival starts in the house of the Lord. With us, just us few people, how we would walk in the light, as our church had been exhorted last year's men's conference, as we all came and revival happened there, because there was a lot of sin that was in the dark that was brought to the light. And that's what this next four verses is all about, as we go back to Mark 4. So I read the right chapter, 21 to 25. Also Jesus said to them after this, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. For to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And all the sin in your life will be brought to the light. Right? There's nothing hidden with God as he searches your hearts. We're not fooling him. I'm not fooling God with the areas that need to be addressed in my life as he's brought to the light. And we know it. I know it. You know, all the little areas, you know, you think you're outsmarting. And but he knows everything. He sees the deceitfulness of our hearts as Christians, as born again, new man in the Spirit, that there are areas that, you know, we're in this world, we're walking in this world, the lusts of the flesh, the pride of life, all that is in this world is vanity. We know this, but we're in this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, the deceitfulness of the lusts of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, the food, you know, good food, right? but walking in the light, the importance that we would walk in the light, and with your parents, you children, right? There's, you know, I mean, even if you think you're fooling your parents, I know they can see right through it. With my kids, I can see right through when they're in sin, as they their instinct is to hide, and they think they can hide from me, but unfortunately for them, it takes one to know one. And so I, you know when a child is lying. And so And the Lord knows when we are lying, and he can see right through it. And so the importance of walking in the light, that we would put on the armor of light. But let's first go to Ephesians 5:13. You can mark this down or churn there. I believe you've probably heard this before, but let's read it again. Our eyes, as these seeds are sown in our hearts today. Ephesians 5:13, it says, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So the importance of the cross in our life. As I came home, what I got from the conference, as there was one word that I had preparing for this, going to the conference, was that I would hearken. That was the one word that the Lord gave me. Because I can be very critical, and I'll try to look for the faults. Or this guy's not doing this right, or this teaching isn't the way I think it should be, or whatever nonsense I try to tell myself, or my favorite pastor that I came to learning and studying the Word of God, and how faithful he is. I kind of I'll put him on a pedestal, and I think all these pastors need to be like this guy. And so, but God was very clear to me that, Bronson, you go to this and hearken and open your ears, and you will receive, no matter who it is up there. There is something for you to receive from each teaching. And, and for me, all the way to the end, it was, again, my need for the cross. And so I was able to read a book on the way home, Calvary Road. Mark that one down. That was a phenomenal book to read. As all the little things God will put on the light on my heart of just even irritabilities with people, not wanting to talk to people, or little outbursts of annoyances, and how my need to die to myself of all the things that I want, or how I want things to be, that I would die to myself. I need to carry the cross daily. Paul says to die daily. This is a daily, every morning, a daily thing that we, by the power of his Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, that we can carry that cross. We can take his yoke and walk beside him. In Romans 13:12, as we were exhorted last year, as we are exhorted today, as we will be exhorted tomorrow, Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That we all probably, our pastor's pastor, listening to him, he is a man of the light. He will declare there will be no scandal at his church, because he'll say things, even in the pulpit, where you're like, whoa, you can say that. And he's just a man that's will wear the armor of light, and how we were exhorted that we would put on the armor of light. The effect of sin, Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, was to hide from God. So as sin enters in, our instinct will be to hide from each other, children, us with each other in relationships. Our first instinct is to hide. And that was all the way back to the garden. Are we hiding something? I have to search my heart. Am I hiding anything from my wife? Am I hiding anything from my brothers at church? What are those things? And just walk in the light. Pray with, have people that you pray with, and to come alongside and to encourage each other, and that we can, we're not fooling each other. I think we like to come and act like there's nothing wrong and that we've got it all put together, but we're all just broken. Broken sinners, or we need to be broken. And so that book will tell us that the I must be broken and turn into a bent C. And I think the biggest hindrance to that is our iPhones. Yeah, I was just thinking of that, and the iPhone is all about I. For the first place, you'll die to self, and then you'll pick up your iPhone, you'll start scrolling through, and then immediately just the sin will get sown in your hearts, and then you'll be back up. I want this, or you'll see travel destinations. Oh, I would love to go do that. I'd love to do that. I want to eat that. I want to, go there. And, the lusts of all what the world enters in will you're broken. And when you're a broken sea, you'll stand right back up in an eye. And the cross, and as we sow in spiritual things, that we would reap a harvest for righteousness for others, and that we would, as we are considering Jesus and his walk, watching him, and just that's our example. He's all through this, his whole life, 33 years in the flesh on earth, was, as we see in his ministry, was ministering to others, and the encouragement for us that we can, by the power of his Holy Spirit, as he grows us up, and we can do those things and serve others and encourage and with that. And Proverbs 13:21, with sin, as we're talking about the armor of light, as the seeds of sin can be planted in our hearts. Proverbs says, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. It will happen. It will. I hated that growing up. You know, I'd always hear, you'll reap what you sow. You know, I'd be in sin, I'd be stubborn, and you know, my mom would always say that. I've always hated the reap what you sow passages, because you know, I knew I would be in sin, and they would, you know, be sure your sins will find you out. And so bring it to the light. I was on my phone, you know, on my iPhone, right, yesterday, and you know, just scrolling through, kind of heartbroken. There was an article of a Fargo man was arrested, but this week or a couple of days ago, and is 26 years old, you know, good looking kid, and you know, arrested for sin. And so, you know, you just think of how can a good looking 26 year old man, you know, with his whole life ahead of him, you know, how can he fall like that with such grotesque sin? And you know, I would imagine it started at a young age. Those seeds of sin were sown in his heart, and then it started out with Sports Illustrated magazines, and then it entered into this next thing, and then it entered into that thing. It was just the baby steps of sin entering into his life, and that he would be arrested for those awful things. And so, you know, I would plead for you that you would consider children, we, you know, really the children and me, that we would really consider, you know, the things that we would watch. And you know, I'm taking heed to consider what I'm allowing my kids to see, and where they go, and the movies they see, and all, you know, you even look at the movies I grew up loving, was the Disney movies, and just the, as I'm older and watching them, you're just kind of, oh, I see that tiny little thing I didn't even see, you know, and now as you know, you're wanting, okay, don't watch that one or that one, and to protect them. So, yeah, serious stuff. And so we, you know, that kid, you know, arrested at a young age with his whole life ahead of him. And it started at a young age. You know, it did. You know, by the grace of God, I'm here. And I looked at that kid, that could have been me. You know, but by the grace of God, the Word of God entered in my life, and he saved me. And I, the Holy Spirit at a young age to have protected me from all those things that I was drawn to, and all the things that I had to bring to the light with my wife. And just, it's been a blessing that, you know, you're scared to do it, but then when you do it, it's, you know, everything's open. There's no hidden sin. And just that daily thing of, you know, encouraging each other and praying for one another. And if you're hearing this, walk in the light, bring it to the light, because it will find you out. The light, walking in the light. Verse 26, we'll just keep reading through. There's so many different Bible studies we can do with this, but we'll stick with what the Lord showed me for this one. And next time around, as you're reading through Mark, you know, God will show you something new. It's hard when you're listening to it, and you're like, You want to get everything in that time. Or, well, there's this part, there's this part. But for the kids, I believe, you know, that warning of watch, you know, be careful, little children, what you see, the little children's songs. But we'll read through. And Jesus said after this, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable should we picture it? It is like a mustard seed which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. And it takes 20,000 mustard seeds to make an ounce. So they're that small. And when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Picture of the church, that seed was planted early on, and it, you know, these Bible studies we might think were small, but the little seed that will grow, and you know, then the birds of the air, as we're talking, the enemy wants to snatch these words that are said and to destroy God's work as the church grows and people are saved and we move on. As and with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. And on the same day, verse 35, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him, Jesus, along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? And I just think of the timing for this, considering, you know, you guys and the storms of the trials, you know, of the last couple of weeks in your guys' life, our life, or wherever anybody of us are at, the storms that come, that, you know, that Jesus knew getting into the boat that the storm was coming. He knows all this, and he's sleeping on the boat. You know, these, you know, as we imagine the picture of this, of the Sea of Galilee, as you know, these are experienced fishermen. They've experienced storms on the sea, but this one was like none other that had come up. And Jesus, as we know and we hear, and we, you know, we wish he would just come and say peace. Be still, that our storms would end and everything would be put back together the way they were. But, you know, God will allow these things in our life, these tribulations, to strengthen our faith, that you guys would be encouraged, that you'd be strengthened in your faith and have faith that God is at work. You know, I think back in, you know, Fargo, you have a young gal broke both her legs, and, you know, right before summer, and just those little trials that you can really discourage. But we can have peace and joy even through those circumstances. I see her; she has joy even with it. You know, I'd be miserable, and you know, she's just in her little wheelchair with a big smile on her face, and you know, it's encouraging for that. And as an opportunity for you guys through this trial, that you know, you can have joy and you use it. God can use it as a way to glorify Him through it, and that others would see. Man, you have all these things that had happened, but you still have the joy of the Lord in your heart. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and to be encouraged through that, even though it's hard, you know, it's, you know, the different things that have come in our life that we wish weren't there. And you know, we think of faith as we consider our ways, as we kind of wrap up tonight. Just James, be doers of the word, not hearers only. So we're hearing this. God tells us, Jesus tells us, hear these words. Take this to heart. Consider closely what's been said. And not just be hearers only, but be a doer of this word. You know, true faith demands action. If I were to tell you guys that I was called to be a missionary in Zimbabwe, and and you saw that I never went and I never did anything with it, would you, you know, in your heart really think I was called to go to Zimbabwe as a missionary? You know, it was just talk. And you know, it, but if I did go, you would see faith in action. He really was called to go and preach the gospel. You think of Livingston in Africa and these men that do these things. And if you're someone that, you know, I'll hear some guys will say, I believe God's calling me to prayer. And, you know, I'll just take mental notes of, you know, as I take heed to myself and what I say, you'll hear them say they think they're called to prayer, but they're never at any of the prayer opportunities they have at the church, you know, or they'll be rarely at them. You know, then you remind you, like, well, I thought you were called to do this, but they're, you know, all the opportunities to pray, you know, they don't take those. And so I'll take heed to that as well. If I say, you know, I've been saying actually for a couple of years, I think God's calling me to go and teach in Grand Forks, you know, so these other works can start, and, you know, and I didn't do it, but now, you know, by the grace of God, by faith of doing that, you know, the action would follow. And so just being, you know, hope that's encouraging, but that we can be, we can do these things with His help. And so I pray it blessed you. It's blessed me. It's beat me up quite a bit as He's softened my heart and tilled, you know, the fallow ground in the areas of my heart that need to be tilled. And so now it's time to do it. It's time to remove those things in my life that need to go and to, you know, go and do that. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for this group. Lord, thank you for their faithfulness to show up. And thank you for your goodness, Lord. As we see you go from here in chapter 4, we'll see the crowd start to get smaller. And, you know, as all these people saw all this happen and they see all these miracles, as people see all the miracles that you perform and your love and your grace, and yet they will not believe, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would save those, Lord, that need to be saved, Lord, that your gospel would go out, that we would be faithful to preach your gospel, Lord, and to share the good news of what you've done, Lord. We ask for your spirit, Lord, that you would draw them to you, and that they would hear with their ears and hear your gospel, and they would consider their eternal destiny, that we would be rude enough to share the gospel with those that we love, that we would be rude enough to tell them the truth of where they're going if they don't repent, Lord. So, God, we ask for your grace through this, Lord. Thank you for your love and your grace. And we just pray for this group, for the families, Lord. Thank you for protecting Talitha and Sam and Jeremy, Lord. God, I ask that you would just use that, Lord, for an opportunity to witness to others, that you would be their strength and give them joy through these hard times. And so, God, just love you and just ask for more of you, Lord, that we would leave here more on fire, Lord, that we would leave here more convicted by your word and more committed to you and to serve you the rest of our days. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.